British Sky Broadcasting and Paramount Pictures and Copleson Entertainment present, in association with Entertainment, Twisted, starring Ashley Judd as Jessica Shepherd, Samuel L. Jackson as Commissioner John Mills, Andy Garcia as Mike DelMarco, and Russell Wong as Lieutenant Wong. Directed by Philip Kaufman, music by Mark Isham. Audio described by Therese Birch on behalf of MCS Agency. A tough female cop becomes caught up in the hunt for a serial killer when she finds out that she is the missing link that connects the murdered victims. San Francisco, the time is now. The huge Golden Gate suspension bridge pokes through a thick blanket of mist. A boat makes its way upriver, passing a yacht, and a colony of sea lions under the pier bark at each other. Seagulls take fright and fly off, silhouetted against the dawn sky. The skyscrapers of the city emerge from the mist. A tram comes over the brow of a hill. A huge liner glides up the river. The rigging of yachts in the marina swaying in the breeze. A man walks his dog. Four pelicans fly slowly across the misty city in front of the skyscrapers. Close-up of a young woman's eye, her head tilted back. The pelicans continue their flight. The woman's eye moves sideways. The pelicans fly on. The birds are reflected in the pupils of the woman's eyes as she looks skyward. Crows circle above her. A bead of sweat trickles down her cheek and down her neck, where the blade of a knife is held against her skin, the point pushing against a vein. A man's mouth, his face unshaven, is pressed against her neck.
I can hear your heart beating. Sounds like a little animal in your chest trying to get out. Sounds like blood. Sounds like flesh.
In a derelict boatyard, the man, Edmund Coulter, is still holding the knife to Jessica Shepherd's neck. He unzips her leather jacket and cups her breast with his hand.
Most of all, it sounds like love.
His hand moves down to her belt.
What's this?
Well?
What is this?
It's my gun!
Jessica grabs Coulter's arms and throws him over her shoulder and onto his back.
Don't hurt me!
She kicks him in the crutch, rolls him on his face, and handcuffs his hands behind his back.
Give me your hand, Coulter. Get on your knees. Get up, Coulter.
I'm trying to.
Jess, I'm here.
I've got Coulter. Wilson, I need backup. 23 Rolfton, the old battery.
10-4, backup view is rolling. I got your back, Jess.
Get on your knees.
I'm on. Get me.
Get up.
I'm up.
Hold him there, Jessica.
Come on.
Oh, yeah. One more thing.
She kicks the kneeling man in the face. Wearing tight jeans with short cropped dark hair, Jessica Shepherd is dancing with Wilson, a black police officer in a crowded bar.
Hey, Shepherd!
Stay on the scene.
Do that thing again. I like a sex machine.
Do it!
Inspector Shepherd Homicide.
Yes.
He wants a beer.
I do.
Another round, Peter.
You got it.
All right, big guys.
Pass them down, boy.
Thanks for being on the phone, Wilson.
You and me, you and me, we're like this.
You're drunk.
No, seriously. Look, just because you're moving up to homicide, don't take me off your speed dial, okay? Mm-hmm. No. I mean, anytime you push that button, I'll be there to pick up. Okay? I'm gonna miss you.
Here's to you.
Ooh. Okay, don't forget about me. Give me some. Ooh.
Miss you too, Wilson.
Look, I'm telling you, these homicide guys, they're mental. Hmm? And they get turned on by fucking corpses. Remember that.
Well, that's interesting.
What the fuck is this? The peanut gallery?
Shot a ride, please. I was just wondering. You mean they're turned on by fucking corpses or by fucking corpses?
Mind your business.
A lot of beers here. Let's spread them around. Another shot of Jack, please.
What?
Oh, nothing. Oh, I was just thinking how awkward you look, even though you are a cop. What precinct? Have it your way, stranger.
Jessica's new partner, Mike DelMarco, looks her up and down as she walks away.
Let's see. Wanna dance?
You gonna be cool, Jimmy?
Am I gonna be cool? Like I'm here to fight with you or something?
Hello, Commissioner. How you doing?
Fine.
Back up, boys. You're breathing my air.
Hey, pal, look who showed up.
Good to see you guys. Hey. Leo, how you doing?
If my mentor were a police commissioner, I think I'd be getting the promotion, too. You know what I mean?
Yeah, is that right?
Yeah.
I got ears like a cat, son, so let's see what we can do about getting you that promotion. Test. There's a man sitting at the end of the bar. It looks like he's been sitting there for a while. I want you to describe him, and I want details.
Well, you know what? I'm just here to have a good time, man. That's it.
Oh, so talking to me is not your idea of a good time? Or is it that you just can't do it?
I could do it.
Okay, so go ahead. Get yourself a promotion. Look at me.
He's a white guy. And, he's got, I don't know, a dark sports jacket. I don't know. You know what? I'm off duty, man.
Yeah, I know. Shepard? Go.
White male, late 40s, 6 foot, 200 pounds, thinning gray hair, glasses. He's wearing two gold chains with some sort of medallion. He's drinking shots and paying cash.
And that's why she's an inspector and you're not. The good inspector's never off duty. My office.
Jessica follows Commissioner John Mills into the pool room as Jimmy gives a mocking salute.
Inspector Shepherd. Making an old man proud. So, you passed the written?
Yeah, of course. How could I not? Trained by the master.
Really, Grasshopper? Well, the master is amazed at how badly you almost fucked it up.
What?
Well, a moment ago, you demonstrated you still know how to process a room. So tell me this. How did that psycho get a knife to your throat? Oh, let me tell you. You went there alone without backup, and you didn't tell anybody. You didn't follow procedure, and you almost got yourself killed. You know, you're lucky you're not being brought up in front of a disciplinary committee instead of being promoted.
You're right. I fucked up.
Uh-huh. Listen, it was an honor for me to raise you, to raise my partner's child. I'm just glad you made it through. But your homicide now, there's no more room for mistakes. Copy that?
Copy.
Nice kick.
Mills is holding court in the bar.
I mean, what kind of moron tries to flush body parts down a toilet? Especially when he's got a perfectly good furnace out back.
I'm gonna head out.
Oh, no. Where you been hiding? This is your night. Hey, the first female chief of police in San Francisco, right here. Mark my words.
Oh, yeah.
To the chief, to the chief.
You remind me so much of your father. God, he would have been proud of you. All right, I want you to go straight home and get some rest.
I will.
Hands in pockets, Jessica walks down an empty street to a crowded, smoky saloon. The doorman nods in recognition, and she goes in, followed by her partner Del Marco, unnoticed, who flicks away his cigarette before going in.
Tutto bene?
Sì, tutto bene.
Not freak me.
Looking around, Jessica sits at the bar beside a tall, handsome man who's talking to another girl. He turns around to look at Jessica, and they smile at each other as she knocks back a shot. Jessica slides another shot down the bar, and he catches it, toasts her, and drinks it in one gulp. She notices a tattoo of two musical notes near his thumb.
Do you live around here?
Back at his apartment, Jessica, in her underwear, and the man from the bar kiss passionately. He pulls her hair, forcing her head back. She instinctively pushes her arm against his windpipe.
What?
They struggle, and he forces her back onto the bed. She pushes her feet against his naked stomach as he kneels over her. She puts her hands behind her head and grins. He relaxes, drops his trousers, and falls forward on top of her, and they make love. Dressed, Jessica walks up to her apartment door and lets herself in. She switches on the light. On the windowsill, a framed photo of her smiling next to Commissioner Mills. She waters a potted plant, then reaches for a glass and pours some red wine. She stares out of her kitchen window. Opposite, a grey-haired old lady stares back from her window. Jessica waves, and the old lady turns out her light. Jessica takes a gulp of red wine and goes into her bedroom and switches on the light. Her police uniform hangs in front of a rack of clothes. She puts her glass down on the bedside table, takes her gun and phone out of her jacket pocket and places them by the glass. She looks at a large wooden chest on her bed. She takes off her jacket, throws it down, and sits on the bed. She lifts the lid of the chest and, smiling, takes out a battered soft toy and cloth doll. She holds them to her lips. She takes out a black and white photograph of her father. He's dead. Blood runs down his face from a bullet wound to the head, a gun near his hand. He's slumped against a wall. Jessica exhales heavily.
Any nightmares? Insomnia? Anxiety? Panic attacks?
Nothing.
Okay, here's the deal. This session is mandated. It's standard procedure for any cop's been through a traumatic experience. Plus, in this instance, the suspect got a little roughed up.
Really?
Let's get something straight. I do not have a dog in this fight. I am not the enemy. Anything you tell me goes right into the vault. Okay? Unless I'm convinced a crime is about to be committed or you are a danger to yourself. Also, you being here does not jeopardize your promotion.
Good to know. Anything else? You're hoping I have some big problems.
Frankly, I prefer to find people in perfect mental health.
Well, then say hello to perfect mental health, Doc.
Okay, then. Hello, perfect mental health. So, you did kick Coulter?
Hands break, feet don't. You gotta get physical every once in a while.
What's once in a while?
On the grass by the riverbank, a police instructor trains Jessica in self-defense using a small wooden baton.
Uara to the sternum, uara to the clavicle, uara to the rib break, uara to the groin. Good. Let me see how you're holding your uara stick. Okay. Thumb over here a little bit. Okay, perfect. Let's do it again. Uara to the sternum, distracted. Uara to the clavicle. Uara to the rib break. Uara to the groin.
Jessica arrives at a busy police station and shows her badge to security. She walks up to a large black woman receptionist and shows her ID again.
Hi. Looking for Inspector Del Marco?
Del Marco! Where the hell is Del Marco?
Jessica finally recognizes Del Marco from her promotion party.
Gotta be kidding me.
Do I look like the kidding type?
Del Marco.
Shepard.
Follow me. Boys, meet Inspector.
Shepard?
Shepard. Flanagan, Dale Becker.
Nice to meet you. Nice to meet you.
Shepard, here's a tip for you. Stumbling on a suspect is not an inspector make. Good luck, honey.
Thanks so much.
Dale was primary on the Coulter thing. Then you waltzed in with the suspect. Congratulations. You've made enemies already.
This job is about to fucking work.
Jessica winks at her hostile colleague, Dale Becker.
How come you didn't say anything in the bar last night?
I couldn't. I was following someone.
Oh, yeah? Who?
You.
Ask her. She knows what she did. She picked me up, and she lured me to that place, sir. And then she got rough. That's it. That's the simple truth of it, Mr. Porter. I had no idea she was a police officer. I mean, isn't that some form of entrapment? Then she handcuffs me. I'm down on my knees. She kicks me in the face, knocks me out cold. Come on, isn't there some law against police brutality, sir? I'm going through a lot of pain and suffering, Mr. Porter.
Yeah, well, I'm very sorry about that, Edmund. But now that I'm on the case, we will be petitioning the judge to reconsider your bail. We will be pursuing many, many other options. Okay?
Manacled, Coulter is led by a prison officer past Jessica and Del Marco in the jail, followed by his lawyer, Raymond Porter.
I know your little dirty side. I know you. You're me.
Come on.
Ray, please tell me you are not going to represent that loser.
That loser's daddy is Coulter Pharmaceuticals. I golf with him Tuesdays at the Olympic Club. He's asked me as a favor to defend his boy. I'm going to do that. Is that a problem?
When you were assistant DA, you used to love to nail bad guys' asses to the wall like trophies.
Raymond Porter. Wonder whatever happened to crime doesn't pay.
Gee, Del Marco, I don't know. Whatever happened to innocent until proven guilty? I mean, do cops ever make mistakes? How about you, Mike? Ever make a mistake? Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. Would you excuse us? I need to speak with Jessica for a minute. In private. Okay, Edgar, tell Marco. Tends to go off the deep end. You be careful.
Ray, you got a client with a string of murders in his past.
Wait a second. Every defendant has the right to his day in court. That young man has no prior convictions.
Ray, he's the guy. I nabbed him in the act.
Well, sometimes nabbing the bad guy is the easy part. The hard part is learning how to relax. Yeah. Maybe you know someone who could help you with that? I think about that night. I think about it all the time. Always thought you'd come back. But you never did.
This fucking scale runs around grabbing up girls, sticking a knife into them, murdering them. Hell, he deserved a piece of your mind. Yeah, Rail say he was cuffed and that you violated his civil rights and all that bullshit, blah, blah, blah. But the bottom line is, it's your word against his. He was resisting, remember that. That's your story and you stick to it. Don't get fancy, don't get creative, just stick to your story, you'll be fine. Hell, everything's fine. And what's not fine can be fixed, right?
I guess culture did impact my life. You got me promoted. So? Do I pass?
Yeah, almost. There's just one more thing I'd like to talk about today.
Shoot, I'm an open book.
I'd like to talk about your parents.
My parents are dead. They were killed in a car crash.
Oh. Okay. So, now that's what you tell people.
Thought this was supposed to be related to my job. I don't see what my parents have to do with my job.
Well, 25 years ago, your father went on a killing spree, which ended with your mother and his own suicide. And you've devoted your life to tracking killers, and you don't see how it relates? You sure?
The psychiatrist shows Jessica a photo of her dead father attached to his notes.
I barely remember my parents. I was raised by John Mills, my father's old partner.
Okay, but it, it could be that your anger problems...
I don't have anger problems. I don't have any problems. I feel fantastic.
Wow. Aren't you lucky? What's your secret?
Jessica, listen to me. My job is to help you deal with your feelings.
I deal with my feelings plenty.
Seated at her kitchen table, Jessica is drinking wine when she hears a noise. Reaching for her gun, she stands up and walks over to the open window. She sits on the kitchen sink and looks down out of the window.
Hello?
She closes the window. Seated on her couch, wine on the table, next to the open chest, Jessica looks at her father's photo. She opens a folder. She takes out three photos, close-ups of a man's ear, marked with crosses, and puts them on the table. She gulps some wine and pulls out a framed photo of her mother from the chest. She cries and drinks again. The photo blurs. Jessica blinks in an attempt to focus. She drops the photo and blacks out. She comes to on the couch, the empty wine bottle still on the table, her phone on her lap.
Shepard.
Shepard, where have you been all day?
Mike?
Be outside, I'll pick you up in 15 minutes.
Uh-huh.
We got a 187.
Okay.
It's nighttime. Jessica pulls up in her car at the Pacific Bowl Park, where a baseball game's in progress. She gets out wearing rubber gloves.
Yes.
Hey. How are you, Wilson?
All right.
Wilson, Del Marco. You remember Wilson, my old patrol partner.
Okay, here we go. Any signs of cause of death?
I don't know, man, but at first glance, I'd say he was beaten to death.
What's the score?
We're up 3, top of the 5th.
Jesus Christ. Who'd you piss off? Okay, what do we got here, Stephen Nick?
Interesting.
Okay, Inspector. Let's see what you got.
I don't think it was done here.
Right, good. So?
We should check the tide charts. What's that?
Hey, Lopez! My key still good?
Yeah, Mike. Anytime.
Tomorrow.
She'll be waiting.
Marine unit, my old unit. Tomorrow me and you, we're gonna go for a little boat ride.
Hey, check it out. Ooh. Cigarette burn.
Nice.
Perfectly centered, looks fresh.
Yeah, let's get a photo.
Give me a photo here, close up of the cigarette burn. Nice and tight.
Okay.
One more.
Good. There you go. Looks like he's been hit with a blunt instrument.
Precise, very professional. Something like this. Come on.
Delmarco crouches over the corpse on the riverbank and motions with a baton like the one Jessica uses. She has flashbacks of a man with long hair in a bar who she'd picked up. She stares at the bloodied face of the corpse. A crab crawls over it.
You all right? Don't sweat it. You'll get used to it.
It's not that. I think I know him.
His name's Bob. He drinks gin. Nothing more you can tell us?
I told you I don't really know the guy. I met him once, about a month ago.
But you said you were intimate.
I picked up a stranger in a bar and had sex with him. You ever picked up a woman in a bar, Lieutenant?
Yeah, in my fantasy life. All right, I give it to Parker and Lewis.
Hey.
Wait a second. Hey, what, is she a suspect?
Come on, we got the call.
All right, and cheers.
We have got Bob Sherman. Confirmed death 8-9 hours prior to discovery. The weapon is a small blunt object, and the kill shot is a blow to the right temple. Although this guy was definitely beaten post-mortem as well. And trace evidence? Nada. Look, there are no fibers, no hairs. I tented this guy. I even super glued him up. I could not raise a single latent. Sorry.
Shepard.
We'll talk later.
Delmarco and Jessica leave the morgue and take a police launch upriver.
We'll find the current that carried this guy here. Last night was windy. Blood tide was about 5 knots. The body could have drifted a long way.
They slow down near a group of sea lions lying on a pontoon.
I bet they could tell us what happened. They've seen all the bodies floating on the tides. They've seen all the smugglers. There's hundreds of different dump sites. Hiding places. Heroin, cocaine, illegal pharmaceuticals, party drugs, you name it. I've chased a lot of guys right down in there. I know every nook and cranny, every secret spot. I'm like the sea lions. They're my neighbors. See that place in there?
You live there? You're one big surprise after another, stranger.
You up for a cappuccino?
You up for finding out who done it?
Okay, Inspector, back to work.
So what exactly are we looking for?
Well, I assume you checked the victim's cuffs last night, right? I also assume that you would have seen there was sand inside those cuffs, which tells us...
maybe he was dragged along the beach.
Exactly. Let's go check out the beach at Crissy Field.
Delmarco and Jessica take the launch over to a white sandy beach and get out. Jessica has flashbacks of having sex with a victim up against a tree.
I don't think anything would have happened here too risky.
Not if it were late at night.
So anyway, the ex confessed after we shook him a little.
Right.
DelMarco, Shepard, what are you guys on yours?
Crime scene is clean. No weapons, no prints, no witnesses.
Going out to known associates and neighbors.
All right. Anything else? All right, let's break it up.
Yeah. Actually, I'd like to put the word out to be on the lookout for similar victims coming in, males 20 to 30, severely beaten.
Wait a second. You got only one body and already you're thinking serial? I mean, what is this, spotlight withdrawal?
Here's some advice I'd like to share with new inspectors. It's sort of like homicide AA. One body at a time, okay?
DelMarco and Jessica sit at a bar watching a flamenco dancer. Jimmy walks in and spots them. Jessica raises her eyes to heaven, looking exasperated.
Ah, my boyfriend.
He's not my boyfriend. He's an ex, and he is the reason I don't get friendly with my coworkers anymore.
Well, that's good to know. Let me talk to him.
Thank you.
Jimmy waves at Jessica. She looks away angrily. DelMarco smiles at him. Jimmy leaves. Jessica's neighbor, the old lady, is watching her drink wine in the kitchen. Jessica waves at her, and she turns out the light. Jessica, carrying the wine bottle and glass, walks unsteadily into her bedroom, knocking herself on the doorframe. She lurches into the room and puts the bottle down on the bedside table. She clamps her hand over her mouth. Holding the glass, she stumbles to the window and looks at a skyscraper lit up against the night sky. She sways on her feet, her eyes blur. She staggers back and passes out on the bed. The alarm clock says 8:10. Jessica sits up bleary-eyed and reaches for her phone on the bedside table.
Shepard.
Jessica!
Yeah?
Bridge patrol found another floater. Someone pounded the shit out of it.
Okay.
Jessica looks at her bedraggled reflection in the bathroom mirror. She has a bruise under her eye. She touches it and leaves a bloody mark. She looks at her finger, which is cut and bleeding. She's in a car with DelMarco.
How much did we drink last night?
Well, maybe next time you should go easy on the sangria.
I must have gotten wasted. Kind of blacked out.
Too bad I wasn't there.
DelMarco and Jessica arrive at the crime scene. Jimmy, in uniform, approaches Jessica.
Big inspector now, so you don't call me back ever, right?
Okay.
Guess that's the reason. You patrol guys want to rustle me up some breakfast? A little bacon, eggs, toast, black coffee? Seeing as how you're not busy?
Well, fuck you, DelMarco.
Make that bacon crisp.
In the shadow of the bridge, Jessica and DelMarco climb down a ladder to a pontoon to inspect the bloodied victim floating in the water. Jessica pulls rubber gloves from her belt and puts them on, kneeling over the body. DelMarco looks down, taking off his sunglasses.
Check it out.
Jessica lifts the victim's hand to inspect it.
There's the cigarette burn.
It's our guy.
Okay, let's get him out.
Keep it level! Okay.
The body is winched out of the water by a boat. It hangs by the police launch. Jessica sees the tattoo of the musical notes on the victim's other hand. She has a flashback to the bar where she picked him up and first noticed it, and remembers their lovemaking. The victim's driving license is faxed through to a police car. A policewoman hands it to Jessica.
We got him. Guy was in the system. Lawrence Geber, DOB, 121168. Had a DUI a while back.
Tell me about it. How did you know there'd be another body?
There was that cigarette burn on the back of the hand.
It's not a simple homicide. Cigarette burn is intentional. A signature. What's up?
I can't say I'm happy you were right about this, but it was a good call, Shepard. Nice going.
All right, let's get on this fast.
I want this guy stopped before the bodies pile up.
The pathologist, Lisa, scans the bloodied face of the corpse watched by Del Marco and Jessica.
This guy thinks he's a pro.
This guy thinks he's being careful by covering his tracks. Not with me, baby. Everybody leaves something behind.
All I need is one little speck of blood. Just one little drop.
Oh, yeah. Oh. Like this little drop, for example. You see the blood spatter on the front of his body? That matches the angle of the blows. So what's this little drop of blood doing all the way back here behind his ear?
Could be the killer's.
How soon will you know?
Well, I got to extract it for DNA. I got to amp it. I got to type it. That'll tell us with absolute certainty whether or not that drop matches the victim's blood.
And if I may say it, you are looking a little rough around the edges.
Been a little stressed.
You have been. At one point, you did suffer from some stress-related symptoms.
From when I was six? Is that what you've got there? My parents had died, and I was sad. I didn't know how to handle it.
And what we have been discussing, your parents, your childhood, that all could be stirring up a lot.
Dr. Frank, I am working on my first case. Looks like it could be a big one. Turns out I've slept with both the victims. That's why I brought it up. You know, for someone who's supposed to understand people, you're a little slow on the uptake.
Jessica, listen to me. You have to tell your partner about this, or your lieutenant, or someone in the department. And what if it isn't a coincidence? What if you're in danger?
Jessica walks through a dark underground car park. She takes her key out of her leather jacket pocket as she approaches her car. She looks both ways as she goes to unlock the door, but drops her mobile phone, which skids underneath her car. She lies down on the ground to retrieve it and sees a group of rats under her car.
Fucking phone. Go away, go away.
She tries in vain to reach her phone with an outstretched arm. She takes her gun out of her jacket and uses it to reach the phone, awkwardly sliding it out from under the car. A man approaches and stands over her as she's lying on the ground by her car. She suddenly leaps to her knees and aims the gun at the man.
Easy does it, Jessica.
It's the police psychiatrist.
You all right?
Just a few rats in the car.
Rats, yes. Well, we live near water.
Uh-huh.
See you next session.
Yeah, we'll see.
Jessica is sitting on the floor in her apartment by the chest, holding the photo of her dead father in one hand, in the other a photo taken near his body of his cigarette lighter, on it engraved, "To a great cop, George Shepherd," and the date, 4-22-73, SFPD. She reaches into the chest and finds the lighter. She's outside the commissioner's home. He answers the door in his dressing gown.
I just can't believe that there was no warning, that he just went off like that.
Your father loved your mother very much. So much, in fact, that it twisted him. You know what I mean? You know, sometimes I wonder if maybe I hadn't told him about her affairs. Look, you need to focus on your case. Do your job. That's the most important thing right now. Hey,
Okay, here's the deal. You all know about serial killers taking trophies of behavior, which often gets them caught. Well, in the past, there have been killers who tried to smarten up, didn't take trophies. Instead, they signed the bodies. It's been done in different ways, cuts, brands, burns. But signing the bodies might not be that smart after all, because the signature itself can be your best clue.
Jessica's mind wanders. She breaks off from her presentation to her colleagues and visualizes the photo of her dead father, the murder from the riverbank, the cigarette burn on the hand, and the photos of her mother and dead father.
So, cigarette burns. We gotta think we're looking at a smoker and the overkill. The overkill suggests some rage. Any questions?
Me? Yeah, me.
I was wondering, have we eliminated Inspector Shepherd as a suspect?
It's very funny, Dale.
No, Mike, I'm serious. I mean, we know she slept with victim number one, right?
Sure.
Yeah.
So, do we know if she slept with victim number two? I mean, shit, Shepherd. He is kind of cute.
As Dale Becker turns away, Jessica lunges forward, kicking him on the backside, sending him flying. Colleagues help him up. Delmarco holds back Jessica.
You're outside, Mike.
I'm cool.
Dale! In my office. Back off. Bad joke, you made your point, I let it go.
Yeah, it is a bad joke. You want to know the punchline? I did sleep with victim number two.
Why the hell would you do something like
Listen,
that?
Listen, brother, it is none of your business who I
sleep with. Hey, who the fuck cares who you sleep with? I'm talking about you lying to me, okay? Because partners tell each other the truth.
Well, I'm telling you now.
Delmarco and Jessica look down the stairwell to check they're not being overheard. The commissioner, Lieutenant Jessica and Delmarco sit in a cafe.
She says she met these guys in a bar. Our killer's probably trolling the same places, and he was probably stalking her.
Well, just to consider all options, any enemies, anyone got like a sick fixation on you might be stalking you.
Lately, I've sort of felt like I'm being watched.
So how do we handle it? We pull her off the case?
No.
You need to operate as though this is not a coincidence. That's the smart thing to do. From that angle, if we pull her, we might tip the killer and we blow a good lead. And if she is connected, we're gonna need her help to find out how.
That's gonna put her at risk.
She's a cop. She knows the risks.
Okay.
I can see you, man.
Hey, thanks a lot for backing me up in there.
Backing you up? I was just giving my professional opinion. You want my personal opinion? Just what the hell do you think you're doing?
I'm not doing anything.
Yeah? Well, that's not what I hear. These men you've been seeing, today you attacked a fellow inspector.
Oh, it was a disagreement.
Uh-huh. And what's going on with you and this Delmarco genius?
God's sake, John, he's my partner.
Okay. Look, I know it's a new century and when people think it's okay to just have sex with whoever. Well, let me give you some advice. Don't shit where you eat. Keep your social life separate from the job.
I do. John, I know you worry about me, and I love you for it, but I can take care of myself.
Really? Is that why people keep dying around you?
Nice.
It's daytime. Delmarco and Jessica drive up to the saloon, which she frequents. They walk in. It's empty, but for the barman and three customers.
May I have your attention, please? That's FPD.
Did I say that out loud?
Hey, I know you. You're coming here all the time. And you're a cop? I don't believe it.
Believe it.
Well, I did think you were kind of hot for a working girl, but I couldn't figure out why else you'd be taking off with those guys.
Get it straight. We're not here to discuss your opinion of me. We're here to discuss a guy who used to look like this and now looks like this. So, I know for a fact he spent time in here. Who'd you see him with?
Look, the only person I've ever seen that guy leave the bar with, aside from his girlfriend, was you.
A middle-aged blonde woman lets Jessica into the murder victim's apartment. She looks at the unmade bed, smiles, and has a flashback of their lovemaking.
Beth?
bastard was always late with the rent, played drums at night. Serves him right. Know what I mean?
Did Mr. Geber have many regular visitors?
Well, the last person I saw him with looked a lot like you. Seemed like he'd fuck any skank that came onto him.
You find out anything up there?
We just wasted the entire day tracking down me.
Good. At least we have a suspect. It's a joke.
Fuck you, Mike.
Delmarco smiles as he watches Jessica walk away. She gets out her key and approaches her front door. She hears a noise, looks over her shoulder, and gets out her gun. Her front door is open. She creeps in. Through the frosted glass of the kitchen door, she sees a man bending over. As she walks in, gun cocked, Jimmy emerges from the kitchen, drinking from a beer can and holding up his hand.
How did you get in my place?
Now, is that any kind of welcome for a man who's seen you naked?
What do you want?
I'm kidding. I mean, I just want to see you.
Come on, Jimmy.
I do. Don't you just miss me? Just I miss you.
What do you want? How many times do we have to go over it? You know, it just... God, Jimmy!
Come on, knock it off. No. Let me touch you.
Jimmy, knock it off.
Jimmy tries to kiss Jessica.
Jimmy.
She gets out her wooden baton and strikes him, knocking him to the floor. She kneels over him, smashing him in the face with the baton.
Holy fuck. Oh, my God.
Oh, Jimmy, oh, man, I'm sorry.
Get off. Oh, holy God. Shit.
Hey.
Oh.
Hey, here.
Get away from me. God damn it, get away from me. Oh, my God. You know what? You're a goddamn psychopath. You know that? You got a screw loose, man. Wacko! Bitch! Holy shit! Got me seeing you!
In jail, Coulter confronts Jessica.
When did you first find out? When did you realize that you had the capacity to kill? To take a human life? You know, we all have it in us. You, me. It's a matter of who can control it. Can you?
Jessica? What the hell are you doing here with my client?
A little police work, Ray, following through on some hunches.
Oh, some hunches. I want to be here when you talk with him, okay? Every fucking time, you got that?
You don't have to have a hissy fit, Ray. I'm cool with that.
Edmund, do you remember what I told you? Okay? Only in my presence. Jesus fucking... I am not having a hissy fit. Okay? I am protecting my client's interests here. And you have got a real battle on your hands here.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I'm coming at you with both guns blazing.
At me? What did I do?
Oh, yeah. Let's just say the law works in mysterious ways, okay?
What the hell is that supposed to mean?
Well, I will explain it to you in detail, but this is not the time or the place. Let's say you come over to my house Sunday morning and we will talk about it. You know, like old times. Oh, God, I love that perfume. See ya. Edmund?
Thank you. Sometimes I could kill that guy.
Delmarco has been watching the confrontation from the shadows. Jessica is in the lab.
Never.
Okay, do I have a hissy fit, Mr. Porter?
The good news is, I was right, as usual.
That tiny little drop of blood, no way did it match the victim.
So we have our killer's blood?
Well, the bad news is, he wasn't in the system. CODIS, the convicted felon database, it gave me zip. So all you gotta do is bring me the guy's blood that matches my sample.
That's all, huh?
Hey, that's why they pay you homicide guys the big bucks. Surely you have some leads. Bring your good pal Lisa a little blood sample, will ya? And I, one of Law and Order's little people, will burn the midnight oil, doing the tests, making the match.
that will lock that fucker up. And you get all the glory, and what do you ask do I get? Hey, perhaps a dinner at Chez Panisse. Downstairs, I would hope.
At work, Jessica pours herself a coffee. Becca watches.
Working late? Still going over all those unanswered questions? The biggest question of all still being, why is someone who would normally be considered a prime suspect being allowed to participate in this investigation?
You got something to say to me, Becker. Quit being such a pussy and come out and say it.
No, I'll say it all right. And I'm not going to hold back just because you're well-connected and someone's protecting you. I'm not going to let you drag this department through the mud. Are you listening to me? I know about you. I know about you and Bob. And I also know about you and Larry. Let me ask you. While you were sleeping with him, were you thinking about hitting him? Are you thinking about hitting me right now? Go ahead. You know you want to. You know, I don't know about this case, but I do know one thing for sure. Every bone in your body wants to hit me right now. Am I right?
He strokes her shoulder. She flinches and breaks the pencil she's holding. It's nighttime. Jessica pulls up outside Del Marco's home.
Yeah, who is it?
It's Jess.
Hey, come in, it's open.
How could you? How could you do that to me?
What's the matter with you?
How could you tell Dale about the victims and me?
What?
I was just starting to trust
you. Hey, listen to me! You think I'd betray our loyalty? I would never do something like that! What's the matter with you? What do I have to do to show you that you're my partner?
Sorry.
Where the hell you think you're going, partner? We got work to do.
Are you gonna let me in on this thing or what?
I'm starting to realize I have more enemies than I thought.
Everybody has more enemies than they think. But the only reason why Dale and the other guys that give you a lot of shit is because they're afraid that you might be better than them.
Del Marco feeds Jessica a piece of smoked salmon he's slicing. She smiles at him.
I love the way you eat.
You know, John would never tell me anything about my mother. It didn't matter what I asked, just a complete no-fly zone. Except at dinner. He tells me I eat just like her. Two-fisted. Yeah. What can I say? I get hungry.
Me too.
Del Marco strokes her hair, leans forward, and they kiss. Jessica responds, getting to her feet, then breaks off and turns away, looking embarrassed. He touches her shoulder and backs off and holds up his hand in resignation. Jessica arrives back at her flat and finds a box of flowers by the front door. She picks up the card on it. It has RP at the top and reads, "I have something important to tell you. Come see me tomorrow, thinking of you, Ray." She kicks the unlocked door open. She drinks deeply, draining a large tumbler of red wine, and has a flashback to when she was attacked by Coulter.
Sounds like a little animal in your chest trying to get out. Sounds like flesh.
Coming at you with both guns blazing.
She studies Ray's card and looks at the roses she's put in the sink. She lurches over to a drawer, gets out scissors, and starts to cut the ends off the rose stems. She tries to focus and pricks her finger on a thorn. She sucks the blood from her finger. Her vision is blurred as she looks at the droplet of blood. The old lady opposite is watching her. She keels over and blacks out. She comes to, on her back on the kitchen floor, and reaches out and picks up one of the roses which are scattered about her. Her eyes are watering. Slowly, she heaves herself up into a sitting position, leaning against a cupboard door. She looks at the card again. Looking pale and worried, she drives up to Ray's home, holding the card. The front door is open.
Ray?
She walks in, looking around.
Ray?
She walks into the empty dining room.
Anybody home?
She walks out of the open French window into the garden, smiling.
Ray, I am not jumping in there with you.
She sees Ray sitting in the hot tub with his back to her and walks over to him, raising her eyes. She spots his monogrammed shirt lying on the ground and picks it up. It's soaked in blood. She rushes over to the hot tub. It's full of blood. Ray's hand resting on the edge has a cigarette burn on it. She looks at his face. He's been beaten and is covered in blood. The lieutenant pulls up outside Ray's house and joins Becca, who shows him to the front door. Delmarco and Jessica are sitting on the step.
What is it?
Looks like he was beaten, thrown in the hot tub, and he's got the burn on the hand.
Jessica's being interviewed by Delmarco, watched by the lieutenant and commissioner.
Let's just get this over with.
It'll take about 5 minutes. It'll be standing to form questions.
Let's go.
I still think it might be best if we just pulled her off the case.
You have any physical evidence on her? Anything to indicate that she might have killed these men?
No, of course not.
Didn't think so. Well, just knowing them's not proof of a crime. Proof of bad judgment, yes. But I'm not pulling her from her first homicide case. It would kill her career. She'll come through this. Just watch.
Your involvement with all these victims was...
intimate? Yes. Do you think it's possible to do things behind your own back?
Maybe I drink too much. I don't know, I pass out. And when I wake up, I think I've done terrible things.
What is it you think you've done?
There's been another murder. And I'm my best suspect.
This third victim, I slept with him too.
Jessica, listen to me. You grow up your whole life knowing that your father has done these horrible things. So now you may be thinking, I have that in me, too.
I don't think I have it in me. I know.
Am I losing my mind? I have violent dreams, flashes. I'm hearing voices.
When did you first find out? When did you realize that you had the capacity to kill? To take a human life.
Jessica has a flashback. She's walking into the dimly lit, crowded saloon. She sees the first victim standing at the bar. She walks up to him. His face is in shadow. She has a drink and looks up at the crowded first floor of the bar. The man drinks from a bottle. She smiles at him. He is walking away from her, down an empty street, lit by neon signs. She is following him. She looks over her shoulder. She takes her gun from inside her jacket and points it at him.
Get away from me! Go!
Each time she fires, the man's face changes into the next murder victim, then into Delmarco. She wakes up white-faced and bathed in sweat and starts to cry. She holds a razor and runs it across her fingertip, drawing blood. She blots the blood with a white cloth and stares at her reflection in the mirror. She walks into the lab to find Lisa and takes out the cloth in a plastic bag.
Hey, I need this right away.
Right away takes 24 hours.
Lisa, please. I need it.
Jess places her hand on Lisa's. Lisa notices the plaster on her finger.
Okay. I'll skip a couple of steps and I'll run it straight through the amplification process. You know, I always say you can tell a lot about a person from a drop of their blood.
Can you tell if they're a good person?
Give me a little time. Angela.
Yes?
I need you to run this up to the lab, get a toxicology screening, and I'm still going to need to type it.
Okay.
Thank you.
Lisa waits till her assistant leaves and picks up the phone.
Hi, it's Lisa from the lab. I need to see you right away.
Jessica leaves the crime lab. At home, she stares at her face in the mirror. She sees the reflection of the bloody murder victims' faces and sees her own distorted image as she beats them with her baton. She steps back away from the mirror. It's misty. Jessica sits on a park bench by the riverbank near some swans. She watches two people practice martial arts. She screws up her eyes as if she's had an idea.
Bring me a drop in the killer's blood.
Let's say you come over to my house Sunday morning. Your father went on a killing spree.
I saw him with looked a lot like you.
Have we eliminated Inspector Dibble?
Is that why people keep that?
What is it you think you've done?
She walks through the mist amongst columns and trees. Suddenly she looks over her shoulder. She has a flashback to when Coulter held her at knife point.
Can you hear your heart beating?
One body.
Sounds like. I know you. You're me.
At least we have a suspect.
You may be thinking I have that.
She's lying back in the bath. Looking glazed, she pours a glass of red wine. Her eyelids droop. She looks unfocused and drowsy as she holds the glass with both hands. Suddenly, she becomes alert and stands up in the bath, hurriedly putting on a robe. She grabs her gun from its holster on the table in the next room, gripping it with both hands. She screws up her eyes to focus and looks at the front door. The handle is moving. She slowly approaches the door and looks through the spy hole. She sees the back of a man's head. She stands sideways onto the door and grabs the handle. She throws it open and points the gun. It's Del Marco, who's also aiming a gun at her.
You okay?
Why wouldn't I be okay?
I tried calling you. Something's wrong. You know that feeling you've been having that somebody's been following you? I'm getting that same feeling tonight. Something's gonna happen tonight.
Get away from me.
Del Marco has put the chain on the door. Jessica points her gun at him. She has a flashback of Del Marco in a dark street. He looks at her calmly.
Put the gun down.
Go away.
What are you doing, Jess?
Mike.
You've been drinking. You gotta stop.
Yeah, he's strong.
She falls into his arms. He holds her face and strokes her cheek as she looks up at him helplessly, her eyes closing.
Give me the gun. Give me the gun.
Everyone who kisses me turns up dead.
Del Marco studies her face, then kisses her passionately.
No, they don't.
She stares up at his eyes, trying to focus.
Don't go.
I ain't going anywhere, stranger.
Jessica swallows, her head lulls, and she passes out. Del Marco puts Jessica's arm around his neck and lifts up her lifeless body. He carries her over to the couch and puts her down, standing back to look at her. He studies her legs, naked, where her robe has fallen open. He's still holding his gun, which points at the floor. He reaches into his pocket for a cigarette, puts it in his mouth, and lights it, all the while looking at her stricken form. He carefully puts the match back in the box and the box in his pocket. Still in her robe, bleary-eyed, Jessica comes round on the couch. She sits up. She sees her phone through a glass partition in the kitchen. There is a plume of cigarette smoke in the air. She gets up and goes over to the table, sits down and answers the phone.
Hello? Mike?
She looks down and sees a plate full of cigarette ends. One is still burning. She slowly puts down the phone. Looking apprehensive, Jessica walks into the commissioner's office and stands in front of his desk.
You asked to see me.
Turn and face that wall. Test, the bulletin board behind you. Go.
Crime scene photos, three black and white, two color.
Two black and white, three color. What is going on with you? You know a couple of victims, so you just let yourself fall to pieces, that it?
I think I'm losing it.
Hey! You have a job to do.
Jessica is at her kitchen sink, drinking red wine, watched by the old lady opposite. Suddenly, she sees Jimmy's reflection in the window. He's standing in the doorway of her kitchen.
Hi, Jess.
What the fuck, Jimmy?
He picks up her baton from the table.
Jimmy, just go home.
Oh, go home. Like I'm some kind of dog.
She puts down her glass and snatches a corkscrew from the worktop. He grabs her gun from the table and puts it in his belt.
Like I'm supposed to obey you now? Is that it?
She looks at the baton and then at the corkscrew.
Rumble.
They both stop smiling and Jimmy pretends to lunge at her. She flinches. She runs out of the kitchen. He blocks her in the hall. She backs away and locks herself in the bedroom. She falls back on the bed, watching him on the other side of the glass door.
Open the fucking door, Jessica. Open the door.
He breaks a pane with his fist and reaches into the handle. He breaks another pane with his other hand, holding the baton. Jessica's eyes droop. She blacks out. She comes to on the bed. She opens her eyes and looks up at the ceiling. She looks down and sees the corkscrew lying on the bedspread next to her. She frowns. Suddenly, she realizes there is a man's arm draped over her waist. She looks at her hand. It's clasping the baton. On top, a man's hand rests. It has a cigarette burn on it. She pulls herself away and looks back at the bed. Jimmy lies dead, his face a bloody pulp.
Jessica Shepherd? Chip Marshall, SID.
He puts a tape recorder on the table where Jessica sits in the interrogation room. He sits down opposite her and puts a file in front of her on the table.
Where were you the night of September 25th? The night Bob Sherman was killed?
I don't know.
He places another file down on the table.
The night of October 1st? The night Lawrence Geber was murdered?
Don't know.
The night of October 5th? The night Ray Porter was killed?
I don't. No.
She looks at a photo on Jimmy's file.
Jessica, did you kill these men?
I don't know.
She gathers up the files and sobs over them.
I'm sorry. I'm so sorry.
She's in a cell talking to the psychiatrist.
I don't know what else there is to say. I was raised to be a good girl, but I was born to bad people. It's kind of comforting in a way. I've been running from it all my life. Fear of being the bad seed. Most of all, I feel bad for John. It's okay, though. It's good. It's good that I'm in here. It keeps other people safe.
Have you given her any medication?
No, I've given her nothing.
I didn't think so. The problem's not in her head. It's in her bloodstream.
What's in her bloodstream?
Report from forensics. I had him run her blood sample through a drug screen. Rohypnol. Ever heard of it?
Yeah, of course. Roofies. It's a date rape drug. It's completely incapacitating. Mm-hmm.
Get dressed. You're out on bail. Thanks for all your help, Doc. We won't be needing your services anymore. All right, give me the headline. And don't tell me you're not up for a test. This is the biggest test of your life, Inspector.
Four men murdered. Suspect slept with all of them. Incriminating evidence found on her person the morning after the crimes.
When she awakened from a drug-induced blackout, which makes it physically impossible for her to have committed the crime.
I didn't do it.
Stick to business. The crime remains the same, only the suspects change.
Who?
Or what do the victims have in common?
Just me.
Who knows your habits? Whose job is it to know where you are at all times in case he might have to call you at any hour of the day or night?
Yo, you're off on that. Mike never knew where I went at night.
Didn't this all start when you got the new job? When you met him?
It's not Mike.
All right, I need you to tell me where to go.
Straight down Market to the Embarcadero. But why would Mike drug me?
How better to incapacitate you while he went about the business of doing what he had to do?
She has a flashback of Del Marco looking down at her.
Think he'd let you prowl without following him?
There were times when I felt like I was being followed.
Suspect follows the accused. When? Where?
The night she
picked up a man in a bar.
Followed the victim back to his place where he watched you do what you do through a window or maybe a crack in the door. Just enough to make him crazy. Come on, Inspector, I'm waiting for you to tell me something.
Suspect had intimate knowledge of the habits of the accused. Access not only to her place, but to her deepest fears, plus familiarity with the drug that ultimately incapacitated her.
Jessica shakes her head and looks out of the car window. The commissioner who's driving looks across at her. It's dark and raining. They pull up outside Delmarco's home.
Remember, he's a cop. We give him the benefit of the doubt.
No doubt. We get all the benefits he deserves.
The commissioner checks a gun strapped to his ankle. Delmarco opens his front door to Jessica and smiles. He pulls her towards him and kisses her.
You got out.
Why didn't you come see me, Mike?
Yeah, why didn't you come see her, Mike?
What do you mean? I was there. They brought me in. They questioned the hell out of me. I told them you were innocent.
How could you be so sure?
Hey, Jess. You're my partner. We're partners.
Partners lie for each other?
What are you talking about?
Partners tell each other the truth. Partners tell each other everything.
Hey.
Partners come see you when you're in jail.
You didn't get my message?
Oh, God, there was no message.
What do you mean there was no?
I was in there. Somebody put me on the no access list. Excuse me. Can I help you with something over there? Looks like you were having some wine before we got here, Mike. You, celebrating something?
No, I'm not celebrating anything. What the fuck is going on here?
I'd like to propose a toast.
What?
To Jessica. You got a problem with that, Mike?
No, why would I have a problem with that? What's going on here? Is this some kind of joke?
You got a toast to what?
Delgado takes the glass of red wine from the commissioner and, bewildered, looks at Jessica.
My partner.
Delmarco and Jessica drink, watched by the commissioner. Then, smiling slightly, the commissioner clinks Delmarco's glass with his, but doesn't drink from it. Jessica and the commissioner watch Delmarco drink deeply, then blink repeatedly.
Okay. Somebody better say something.
Rohypnol.
Yeah, Rohypnol. And what?
Date rape drug. You ever heard of it?
Of course I've heard of it. Roofies.
Roofies. That's what you hip guys call it, right? And I seem to remember you had a little girlfriend who OD'd and died from this stuff. So, you know what roofies do, don't you?
What the fuck is going on here?
Somebody has been following me since these murders began. Someone has been drugging me. Somebody who was lurking around, Mike. You know, who was in my place.
They incapacitate you, don't they? Make you feel confused and anxious. You, feeling confused, Mike? Any, anxiety?
You put something in my wine.
Whoa, this is quite a stash you got here, Mike.
Delmarco, sweating, struggles to focus.
Stash?
Oh, a little of this stuff must go a long way. You plan on date raping a whole sorority house here?
Planning evidence?
Sit!
This is not my stuff. Listen to me, this is not my stuff.
Party drugs. Oh, look at here what I found. This is one of those, what do you call it? A yawara. Ah. Those little Japanese sticks that pound your features to a pulp.
It's not mine.
They didn't have these in my day, but I heard you an expert with one of these, Mike.
That's not mine.
This one's got some blood on it. Wonder if that's Jimmy's blood. Think that could be poor Jimmy's? You didn't care too much for him, did you, Mike? I seem to remember you threatened to kill the poor bastard. You're not going for your gun, are you, Mike?
Delmarco reaches for his gun on the piano, but Jessica grabs it first.
Mike!
No! No bruises. Just take it easy. Take it easy.
Delmarco leans back against the piano. The commissioner lifts him to his feet and sits him down on a chair. pushing his jacket down over his shoulders.
We're in this together now, partners. Now you understand.
He takes a cigarette from a packet on the table, lights it, and puts it to Del Marco's lips, then rests it in an ashtray.
So we got a cop killer here. A man who's committed a very special crime that requires a very special form of justice. Step one, make sure the crime scene is clean. Don't you touch anything, darling. Step two, no sign of physical restraints or struggle. Step three, motive. In this case, I'd say, remorse for what he's done. Unlucky in love, that always works too.
What are you doing?
The commissioner places a photo of Jessica on Del Marco's wallet. She recalls the photo of her dead father.
Tomorrow, when those crime scene boys show up, photos never lie. They also save on those messy courtroom appearances, like some asshole judge letting him out on bail. And now you understand. We're in this together. Give me the weapon.
Jessica remembers the photo of her father's crime scene, identical to this one. The commissioner holds a lighter in his gloved hand. Jessica places her hand over it. He stares at her. Her eyes fill with tears.
Step away from Mike.
What?
Put your hands behind your head and get on your knees.
Don't you understand?
Understand? What?
I'm doing this for you!
Get on your knees! Put your hands behind your head!
Rule number one. You gotta be crazy to be a cop. You ever heard that old saying, everybody runs away from a man with a gun, but a cop runs toward him? Give me the gun, Jess. You're not gonna use it.
Do it! Do it! Do it!
Your father had that same rage. I told him about her. I had to. He was my partner. You tell your partner everything. You always tell your partner the truth. I told him she was fucking that hippie scum. He lost his mind, ran in the house. I heard arguing. Look, all my life, I wish it. Hey! Ah!
The commissioner sees Del Marco lurch out of the door. He lashes out at Jessica, then runs after him. She picks up her phone. The commissioner runs outside and looks through the mist at the river. Flicking his cigarette lighter, he crouches down, looking through the railings at the water below. Del Marco is hiding under the decking, floating on a raft, paddling it with his hands. The commissioner continues his search. Jessica follows him. The commissioner turns and smiles. Del Marco, down below, looks terrified. Jessica, holding her gun, looks about her as she walks through the fog. He lifts Del Marco's hand and stubs the cigarette on the back of it. Jessica approaches stealthily, aiming the gun. The commissioner, still kneeling, throws the cigarette in the river.
You killed them all.
They were scum. Don't you understand, darling? They weren't good enough for you and her. You have the same emotional problem. You have her disease. I've tried to cure you.
You cured my mother by killing her?
She was ruining my life. She was ruining her life and your father's life. I loved her. I couldn't let her keep doing those things. There was no other way.
You killed my father. You couldn't stop killing.
Stop. I stopped for all those years, and I can stop again. Control, Jess. It's all about control.
The commissioner takes out his gun and points it at Jessica.
Give me the gun. I kill you, I kill a fleeing felon. You kill me, you commit murder.
Jessica holds her phone.
We've heard everything you said, Commissioner. You don't need the gun, Commissioner.
Test. Identify the voice you were listening to.
I'm here, Jess. I got you.
Recognize the voice of Officer Wilson, my old patrol partner?
Go along with
the program, sir.
You don't want to destroy her.
Let her get the captain.
Maybe some asshole judge will cut you some slack.
The commissioner lowers his gun and looks away.
10-4. Backup units rolling. Call 3. We're on our way, Jess.
Del Marco is stirring. The commissioner turns around, takes a couple of steps, and stops.
Well done, Inspector. Well done. You outsmarted the master. That means I did my job well. There's just one more test you have to pass. Room for mistakes. Test.
No!
The commissioner puts the gun to his temple, but then turns it on Del Marco. Jessica shoots him, and he falls into the water. The sea lions stir in the background. Jessica walks forward to the edge of the pontoon. She cries as she looks at the commissioner floating on his back. She goes over to Del Marco and kneels by his side. She cradles his head in her lap as the police arrive, led by Wilson with a torch. Del Marco smiles weakly.
No uniforms out here. Get the paramedics.
Always got your back, Jess. You okay?
Dale Becker takes off his jacket and puts it around Jessica's shoulders. The lieutenant shines a torch on the commissioner's body in the water. The policemen watch by torchlight as a sea lion nudges the corpse. A police launch approaches through the murk.
Marine 1, get someone in the water right away to control the body. Follow my light. See us?
Mike.
Right here in front of the back.
Mike. Mike. I'm so sorry. I'm sorry, I thought you were the guy.
I am the guy. I'll see you later, stranger.
Jessica smiles at Del Marco as she cradles his head. He looks up at her smiling, then shuts his eyes. The end.